if God is with me and God is with us, then why are we in such a mess? Why have you forsaken us, God? And God says, I didn't forsake you. You forsook me. Amen? God never forsakes us. Amen? He never forsakes us. He never goes back on his word. He's always with us. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you alone. He gives us that in his word. It's a promise. You can stand on it. You can take it to the counter. It's good. It's good stuff.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. Continuing his series titled, What's Wrong with America?, Brother Mark Abney delivered his sermon preaching from the book of Judges, chapter 6. We hope that you will enjoy Brother Mark's message, and we hope you will join us again next week for another great sermon.
Looking in Judges, about page 218 in my Bible. We could probably just go on and on with this for several months, but probably draw it to an end pretty quick. Last week we did What's Wrong with America, Part 1, and we looked at Elijah and as he went to Mount Carmel, and he restored an altar of the Lord that had been torn down. And as he restored that altar, he began to pray on that altar. And God sent down fire from heaven and turned his world around. And I think that's what we need in our country, as I talked about last week, is we need to restore the altars that we have in our life. And them are altars are any place that we meet God. Any place that we meet God. And all of us have altars in our life, and some of them are in disrepair, and we need to restore them. Let's look at Judges 6, and I'm just going to read the first verse there, and then we're going to pray. It said, Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of God. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that your spirit would fill this place. Lord, that every heart would be in tune with what you want to say. Lord, hide me behind the cross and may you take me out of the way. And Lord, may we see you. Lord, more than anything else, I pray that you would quicken us and make us alive, that we might be your servants, and Lord, that we might share the word in a lost and dying world. People need to hear, Lord. And how will they hear unless you send someone? And so, Lord, we say this morning, here am I. Send me. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Thinking about Lori and Lisa's birthday today, and I remember a story about that as a guy that lived in the city, and one of his, he was having a party at his apartment in a high-rise building, and so he was telling people how to get there, and one fellow had asked him about directions, and he says you need to go to Main Street, and when you get to building 6624, that's my building, and says you'll open up your car door, and then you'll walk down the street, and when you get to the front door, that door will open automatically for you, and as that door opens automatically for you, you walk down the hall and go to the right, and right in front of you will be the elevator, and you take your elbow and you push the up arrow with your elbow, for my room is 620. And you get on that elevator and you take your other elbow and you push number 6 with that elbow. And he says that elevator will take you to the 6th floor, and that door will open. And when that door opens, you go to your left, and you go down there to room 620, And when you get to room 620, you take your forehead and you hit the door three times like that. And then I'll come to the door and open the door and let you in for my party. And he says, well, why do I have to do all that? He says, well, I assume if you're coming to my birthday party, your arm's going to be full of presents. Most of you got it. What's wrong with America? Well, it says the Israelites did evil in the sight of God. And we were studying last week about what the Israelites did, and they was doing evil in the sight of God. They had tore down all the high places, and they had resurrected idols to Baal and Asherah, and they were serving foreign gods, and they were not doing what God told them to do. And so now we go look at Judges, and where's Israel at again? They're doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And they've resurrected high places. They've tore down all the godly altars, and they've replaced them with altars to Baal and altars to Asherah. And so the Israelites were desolate. And God had given them over to the hands of the Midianites. He had placed them in bondage and captivity. And they were in that for 7 years. And they were desolate in their country. You know what it's like to be desolate? Have you ever been out to the Four Corners? Now that place is desolate. I mean, there is nothingness out there. I mean, we was going down the road to the Four Corners, and I could see way up there, the road was still going. I said, this road's a million miles long. I mean, it's to nowhere. The middle of nowhere is out there. Lisa loves that place. You know, the more desolate, the better. The more sand, the better. The more dryness, the more cactuses and rocks, the better. It's like, for me, no. I like the green. I like the mountains. I like the water. And I like animals. And you know, you go out there's nothing. Everything sticks you, pokes you, or bites you. It's just a desolate place. And that's where these people were. They were in a desolate place. They were in bondage by the Midianites. And the Midianites, by the way, were Abraham had married a lady, and she gave birth to a boy, and his name was Midian. And Midian went on and had a whole group of people that come after them, and they went on, and Moses eventually married a Midianite woman too. And so the Midianites were a people in that country, and God put the Israelites under the oppression of the Midianites because they had sinned. He put them in bondage because they had sinned. They were desolate. They were in distress. And everything that the Bible says, everything they put their hand to returned nothing. For the Midianites come and took it from them. So whenever it was harvest time and the crops were ready, here come the Midianites, and they said that their camels and their cattle and their oxen and their tents, they was like the sand of the sea. There were so many of them. And they would come into the country, and they would take all their crops. And they would take all their sheep. And they would take all their goats. And they would take everything they had and leave them with nothing. And so they was desolate. They was in distress. And everything they labored for produced nothing because it was taken from them. They was in debt because they had served other gods, and they had tore down the high places, and they'd replaced these high places with altars to Baal and Asherah, and they had this huge sin debt that they could not pay. And they had no way out of debt. There was nothing that they could do to get out of debt. And so here they were. They were in distress, and they were in debt, and they were discontent. They were not content with where they were because whatever they did left them empty inside. Everything they put their hand to returned nothing. Everything they tried to do amounted to nothing, and it was taken from them. And so they was very discontent with where they were in life. And they needed deliverance. They were so distressed that they cried out to God for deliverance. They'd been oppressed for 7 years. Every time you see seven in the Bible, you can just replace it with the word fully. Fully. Okay? So when they said, ask Jesus, how many times should we forgive them? Seven times, we've heard. He said, no, 70 times seven. Even more fully. Fully. Seven always means fully. To the fullest extent. So we see that they were oppressed fully for 7 years. And so they needed help, and they needed help fast, for they was going to die. They had nothing left. They were starving to death, even though they produced a lot of food. Even though they grew a lot of animals, it was all taken from them, and they had nothing. And the debt continued to rise. And it continued to get higher and higher. And they continued to have nothing. So Israel was greatly impoverished, it says in verse 6, because of the Midianites. And they cried out to the Lord. So what did God do? When you cry out to God, what's God do? Help me out. He hears you. When you cry out to God, God hears you. And so they cried out to God, and God listened. God said, oh, I hear you. And so God sends them a prophet. He sends them a prophet. And the prophet comes, and the prophet says, God told the prophet to say this, and the prophet says this on God's behalf. He says, I brought you out of Egypt. In Egypt, anytime you see Egypt, you can always replace that with the world. Egypt's like the world. God says, I brought you out of the world. I brought you out of that house of bondage. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians who was holding you in bondage. Out of the hands of everybody that oppressed you. And I drove them out before you, and I give you their land. God says, I done this all for you. You remember that? Everything that I had done for you, and how I delivered you from the world, and how I saved you, and how I freed you from the bondage of sin, the bondage of the world, the bondage of destruction and desolation, how I freed you, and how I delivered you, and how I give you this productive land, and you became productive because you followed me, and you prospered because you did what I told you. You remember that? God said, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you did not obey my voice. He told them. He says, here you are. I told you what to do, and you ignored me. Do you think them people ignored God just the next day after deliverance? No. No, sin slowly creeps in the back door. And as it creeps in the back door, the people slowly move towards the way of sin. And they slowly get away from God. And they keep moving slowly further and further away from God until they get to the place that they realize is, oh my. We're desolate here. And then they begin to cry out to God. They say, God, I need help. I need you to help me now. You ever been there? You ever been in a place where if God hadn't intervened, if God hadn't did something on your behalf, nothing would have happened. That's desolation. And that's where they were. And God said, I brought you out, I delivered you, I set your feet on fertile ground, and I freed you from bondage, and you were productive and you prospered, but you know what? You didn't listen to what I told you. And you got away from me. Well, then an angel appeared. Has anybody ever seen an angel? You ever seen one? Wonder what they look like. Angel appeared to Gideon. Well, Gideon. Now Gideon was in the wine press threshing wheat. No, I didn't stutter. I said it right. Gideon was in the wine press threshing wheat. Now what in the world? Why would you be in a wine press threshing wheat? You ought to be on the threshing floor, amen? You're going to thresh wheat, you get on the threshing floor and thresh the wheat, and that's where you thresh wheat. You don't thresh wheat in the wine press. You press wine in the wine press, you press the grapes in the wine press. You get the juice out, and so there's this great big vat-like thing, and they'd get inside of this vat, and they would stomp the grapes until the juice come out, and the juice would run out the bottom. And that juice needed some bacteria in order to ferment, so they'd get that off your toes. We call that toe jam. Well, there he was in the wine press. He's threshing wheat. Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. He was hiding because who was going to come take the wheat if they found it? The Midianites. So there he was in the wine press threshing wheat under the cover of this big vat, and no one was going to the wine press because guess who had already took over the vineyard? The Midianites. They had it all. So there, nobody went to the wine press. It was all grown up with weeds. There was giant ragweed growing everywhere. You couldn't even see him. And there he was. And then this angel appears to him and says, "Hey, Gideon, the Lord is with you." Gideon says, "Oh, Lord." Right. The Bible says, he says, "Oh, Lord. Oh, my Lord." Did he say, "Oh, my Lord"? Or did he say, "Oh, my Lord"? Is it kind of like today it'd say, "Oh, my God"? You know, and I don't really like it when people say that. And so sometimes they say, "Oh, my gosh." You know, but Gideon's like, "Oh, my Lord. If God is with me and God is with us, then why are we in such a mess? Why have you forsaken us, God?" And God says, "I didn't forsake you. You forsook me." Amen? God never forsakes us. Amen? He never forsakes us. He never goes back on His word. He's always with us. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you alone. He gives us that in His word. It's a promise. You can stand on it. You can take it to the counter. It's good. It's good stuff. So there he is in the wine press, pressing or threshing wheat. And this angel appears. You know what? If I was counting, there was 104 angelic appearances in the Bible. 104. Well, anyway, this fella, this guy comes up and says, "The Lord is with you." What do you think? Gideon thought he was an angel? So what's the angel look like? He looked like you and me. You ever seen an angel? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Not maybe. I'll bet you have. You just didn't recognize him. Because the Bible says sometimes we're entertaining angels. We don't even know it. Amen? When Jesus had ascended into heaven and he come back for a short time and he appeared to two men on this road to Emmaus. When he appeared to them on the road to Emmaus, they did not recognize him. How come? He didn't look like an angel. He didn't have wings. And he, you know. So they didn't recognize him, you know. He looked like you and me. Maybe he didn't look like Jesus as they recognized Jesus. He looked different, but he didn't look like any angelical being. They wasn't like, "Oh my gosh, you're weird looking. You must be an angel." And we don't see that. And in the 104 appearances of angels, only a few of them were recognized as angels. And those were the archangels that had names like Gabriel. They were recognized as angels because they were sitting there glowing. Yeah, they look different than you and I. But then there's a whole bunch of angels that appeared to people 104 times in the Bible, and they didn't even recognize them as angels until they figured out. And guess what? Gideon's going to figure this out. Because look what happens. the man of God says to Gideon, "The Lord's with you." And he says, "Yeah, right." And the man of God says, "Go in your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." Well, Gideon says, "Hey, yeah, all right. My clan is the weakest in all of Israel, and I am the weakest of my clan." Have we ever heard that before in the Bible? "Hey, Moses, go and speak to the people." "I'm not very good with words. I can't do that." You know? Hey, this is just another place where God's going to use an ordinary person to do his work. And he's looking for a few ordinary people out there like you to do his work. And he's this man of God, this angel says to Gideon, "God will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one man." Gideon says, "Okay, I need a sign." You ever need a sign? You say, "Lord, I feel like you're asking me to do some things for you, but I need you to open some doors for me so that I'm sure that that's where you want me to go. I need a sign." And that's kind of like the guy, and he's saying, he said, "Lord," he had his Bible out. He says, "Lord," he says, "I need a word from you." And so he turned and he looked in the Bible. And he's looking for a word. And it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptize them." And it says, "I need another word." So he looks in there, and Judas went out and killed himself. Oh. So he's decided he didn't need a word. You know, well, if you ask Christians today, what's the hardest thing for you to do? The number one answer usually is, "I need to know what God has in his will for me. What does God want me to do?" Well, how do you know that? Are you waiting for an angel? Are you waiting for a sign? Well, Gideon's a little confused here. He says, this man of God, this comes up to him and says, "The Lord is with you." He says, "The Lord is with you, and he's going to go with you, and you're going to defeat the Midianites as one man." So Gideon says, "Give me a sign." Gideon says, "You stay right here." He says, "I'm going to go make a sacrifice, and I'll bring it right back, okay?" So the man of God says, "Okay, I'll wait." So Gideon goes and he gets a goat. And he gets an ephah, a flour. How much is an ephah of flour? A little over a bushel, if I was guessing. That's a lot of flour, isn't it? A bushel of flour. And he takes and he cooks the goat. And he gets the broth. So he's got this goat cooked and he's got this broth off the goat. And he's got a cake made out of an ephah of flour. Now, we had cake last week, didn't we? We like cake. I like cake. You know, I want my cake, I want to eat it too. So he had this cake, and he had this goat, and he had this broth, and he brings it all back, and there's the man of God, and he sets it down, and all this stuff. This is big. This isn't a little offering. This is a big offering. You know, a big cake, a goat, and all the broth. And so the man of God says, "Okay." He says, "Put this goat on this rock and put your cake on this rock and then pour your broth all over it. Pour it all out." And so he does that. And the angel of God takes his staff, reaches down, touches the rock. The rock bursts into fire and consumes all of that sacrifice. And Gideon goes, "Shazam! Bazinga! You are an angel." And he goes, "Uh-oh, I'm going to die, for I have seen God." And they remember from Moses, remember Moses? The second time he went up to get the commandments? He went up there to get them commandments. And you remember the second time he was up there? And God says, he goes, I'm going to pass by here. And he goes, I'm going to put my hand in front of you. And I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And he says, when I pass by, I'm going to put my hand in front of you so you can't see me. And then after I pass by, I'll remove my hand. You can see my backside. For no man has seen God and lived. That's what the Bible says. And they remembered that. And so here's Gideon. He just seen God. And he's scared to death. He's going to die. He says, God's going to kill me now because I've seen God. And the angel says, do not be afraid. You will not die. He says, peace be with you, and fear not. So Gideon built an altar because he met God. When you meet God, you build an altar. All through the Bible, they build an altar when they met God. Okay, he met God, he built an altar. Some of you all have altars. You may have met God here at the front of the church, and at your altar. And you continue to come here and meet with God. You may have met God in your home. You may have met God in your vehicle. You may have met God anywhere, but wherever you met God is an altar of yours. And you need to write that down. You need to remember that because that's an important time in your life where you met God. So he builds this altar and he calls the altar Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. That means God is peace. God is peace. Jehovah Shalom. God is peace because he didn't kill him for seeing him. And that same night the Lord said to Gideon, he says, you take a full-grown bull. It's called a second bull in your scripture, in your text. A second bull. That means a full-grown bull from your father's herd. And he says, you go out to your father's field where there's this altar that's built to Baal. Now, why is there an altar built to Baal in Joash's field? Joash was Gideon's dad. Because the Midianites are ruling. They've built altars all over the country. It didn't matter if it was your field or not. We're building this altar here. You say, I object. I'm a godly person. I really don't want that altar in my field. Sorry. So they built this altar to Baal in the middle of the field. And they put up these Asherah poles by this altar out of wood. And he says, you go and you find that, you take this second bull, this full-grown bull from your father's herd, and you go and you cut down them Asherah poles, and you tear down that altar of Baal, and I want you to build me an altar in the proper way, and I want you to sacrifice this bull to me as a burnt offering. And so Gideon thought, okay. So he goes and he finds 10 men. You need some help. I mean, you got to get the bull. It's a full-grown bull. You need some help, right? And you got to tear down all this altar to Baal. And you got to cut down these Asherah poles. And you got to get all this stuff done because this man of God has told you that this is what you're supposed to do. And so when do you think he does that? Huh? He did it in the dark. How come? He's scared. Yeah? So he does this in the middle of the night. In the next morning, all the town people wake up and guess what they see? They don't see an altar of Baal. They don't see any Asherah poles. In fact, he used the Asherah poles for wood to burn the offering on. And here's this altar to God, Lord God Almighty. And he built it right on top of where the Baal altar was. He tore this altar down. He built this new altar to God. And he sacrificed a burnt offering on that. And all the town people wake up and they say, uh-oh, we are in trouble. Wait till the Midianites see this. So like any good, respectable citizen, in order to save their own tail end, they said, who did this? We are going to find the culprit and we are going to have his head. And so they began interrogating everybody. Who did this? Who did this? Who did this? Well, you know, if you take 10 people out and you go do this in the middle of the night, someone's going to find out. You know, it don't take long for word to get out, huh? Someone put that on Facebook. Yeah. So all of a sudden, Gideon's the culprit. And so they go up to Joash, his dad, and they say, we need Gideon. It's time to have an execution, and Gideon's the one. And his dad, being pretty intelligent, this is really good, Joash says, you know what? Baal's a god, right? And if Baal's a god, then Baal ought to be able to take care of his own problems, right? And so he says, why don't you just let Baal contend with him instead of you all doing the dirty work? So all the townspeople agreed and said, all right, we'll just let Baal contend with him. And so Joash changed his son's name to Jerubbaal, which means let Baal contend with him. How'd you like to have that name? Your name is Jerubbaal. Let Baal contend with me. Well, all the Midianites, all the Amalekites, and all the Easternites, there was all the people from the east, the Amalekites, and the Midianites, they all was on one side, and they all got together, and they filled this valley. And the Bible says there was more people down there than the grains of sand. There's just tons of people in this valley. You could count them. That's what I was trying to say. There's too many people to count. And they was down in this valley. And here's Gideon. And Gideon has tore down this altar and built an altar to God. And the townspeople wanted his head. And Joash said, just let Baal contend with him. And so they decided to do that. And so Gideon, all of a sudden, gets full of the Holy Spirit. And he blows his trumpet. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, do you blow your trumpet? Well, that's what you did then. When you blow a trumpet, that means it's time. It's time. So if you ever hear a trumpet blowing, you better check it out. It might be time. This lesson is going to go over time. So I'm gonna finish it up next week. But I want to tell you this. I want to just leave you with this to think about. And you might look at this lesson. It's in 6 and 7 of Judges this week, okay? You read this. Read this stuff. Look at where they were. They were desolate. Why? Because they had got away from God. Think about where we're at in America. Are we desolate? Are we distressed? Are we in debt? Are we discontent? Nothing satisfies. Do we need deliverance? There's no resolve. And God said, I brought you out of the world. I saved you from the bondage of sin. And I put your feet upon the rock. And you didn't listen to me and you stepped down. Maybe it's time we step up and step out. step up and do what God says in His Word, and step out and reach out to other people who need to know Him, other people who need prayers, other people who need us to visit them in the jails and the sick and the widows and the lonely. Maybe it's time as Christians we decided, you know what? Just coming to church on Sunday and sitting in a church pew is just not doing it. Yeah, all my neighbors know I go to church. All my family knows I love God and I go to church. But have we ever really done anything stepping out of our comfort zone like God would want us to do and sharing with people who need to know? They were desolate. All the issues had no resolve. There was no satisfaction in anything they put their hand to. Old Solomon said, it's vanity of vanities. Oh, I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. As the message comes to me and I think of Calvary, oh, I am satisfied with Him. Let's pray. Father God, help us to see Your Word, the truth of Your Word, and Lord, apply Your Word to our daily living. Let us be vessels that are willing Lord, move in our lives and move in our circumstances, and Lord, place us in places where people need to hear. Places in places where we can take a stand. Lord, move our circumstances in our lives in such a way that cause us to do Your will and Your way. Help us as Your people, Lord, to know that You're with us and You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And You want to use each and every one of us. Lord, we're just ordinary people and we need You. And Lord, in this desolate country that we live, the wealthiest, desolate country in the world that we live in, Lord, help us as we cry out to You and say, Lord, we need You to deliver us. In Jesus' name I pray.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe You died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in Your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in You alone for my salvation, and I accept Your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.